Tell me about your children. How many children did you have?
Well, we have four. The three boys were
What are their names?
David, Danny, and Ralph. And they were born within 5 years.
Do you want to tell us when each was born?
David was born November 17, 1941. Danny, March 15, 1944. And Ralph, September 25th, 1946. And Ralph's birthday, incidentally, each delivery, you know, David's was a hard delivery, but the next two came very fast and furious. Ralph was born the night he was born because it was the night that the Duquesne light strike was threatened, the first power strike we had, in my knowledge. Ann Alpern was city solicitor, and I was very close to being due for delivery, and I went into Dr. Power, and he said, well, you know, it could be any time, and I said, what do we do in case there's a Duquesne light strike? And he said, you know, I think I'll bring in all the women who are due into the hospital. We have an auxiliary power plant, and you might have difficulty, you know, gas stations won't be due. You know, people might have difficulty coming in. So I'll bring all my patients in who are due and simply induce labor. So I came in the night of the 25th, and Dr. Power came in and induced labor, and within about an hour, I had my third boy, and it was just delightful. It was wonderful. Ann Alpern had an injunction against the union, and there was no strike. But she took a very forthright and strong position. It was a very good position. The city was grateful to her.
Who was your fourth child?
Then Edie, our daughter, came along 7 years later. Saul needed to be convinced that we needed a fourth child. He did not need one. And having come from a family of nine, he said, you know, babies are one thing, but they grow up to be people. And I don't want to live with that many people. And my original idea was to have three children, because our home had had three children. I had found it to be an ideal home. I really haven't talked to you enough about the flavor of our home with my mother and dad. But it was ideal. And so I wanted to repeat that. But after I'd had the three boys, I enjoyed the process of childbearing so much, and there I was, 39 years old. Well, but I'd wanted this before. It took me several years to convince Saul that we ought to try again. And he still wasn't convinced, and I said, look, Saul, you might change your mind 5 years from now, but I can't wait. I mean, I have to act right now. I'm 39 years old. We said, okay. And then we had Edie. I always became pregnant according to plan, and Edie, as soon as she was born, she became, of course, the apple of his eye, and everyone on Garina Road was running up and down saying, it's a girl, because we'd had the three boys. Everyone thought I had the child, I had the girl. That really was not my intention. I just wanted a baby somehow to prolong my own fertile age. I just didn't want that to be utter. It's so different from the way maternity is viewed now that I'm making the point of saying that it was, I'd had a career, I'd had my education, I'd known a work experience, I'd had 7.5 years of marriage without any children, this was because we couldn't afford to have them, and somehow that part of me had been satisfied, and when I wanted the childbearing experience, I didn't want it diluted in any part-time way with, you know, the way women are looking at that experience. And I wanted to be in a total experience, which it was, and it was so good, I really didn't want to end it.
Well, briefly tell me what each of your children do and whether or not they're married and so forth.
David, the oldest, all four of my children, by the way, went to Falk School, for the most progressive education we could get. They went to Alderdice in order to have a complete grounding in their community. And then after David went to Oberlin College, and we found that such a good experience, all four went to Oberlin, each one on the recommendation of their brothers who preceded them. And then they separated out at graduate school. David was enrolled in a PhD program in economics at Stanford. University of Palo Alto, where he completed everything except the thesis. I really, I'm the only one who feels bereft of that degree, but he said it would only serve if he wanted to teach and he didn't want to teach. He came back to Pittsburgh several years later when Saul convinced him that he needed him in our company's business, and that if David didn't come, he was going to have to hire somebody else.
What is your company's business?
Giant Eagle Markets. After my father sold, after the original partner sold Eagle Grocery to Kroger's, and were forced to retire for 3 years, when that three-year period was up, they went back into business, joined up with two other people in the OK Grocery Company. When the supermarkets came along, they dropped the old name of OK Grocery and became Giant Eagle. My husband was not interested in going into the family business, and for the first 10 years of our marriage after law school, he was with the Housing Authority, where he did become associate director. And it wasn't until 1946 where Saul felt that probably the end of the road had come, that he acceded to my father's desire to come into the business, because my father had no one else in the second generation. My brother was a doctor in California. My sister's husband was a graduate social worker and was not at all interested. And there was no one to represent our family. Five families were the founders of the company, and my dad felt that there was no one following through. We went into join this the company with great trepidation, because the world of the Housing Authority had been a more academic world. Professor Hovde, our own professor from Pitt, was the first director. It was a very idealistic institution, one of the first in the country. Lots of new, creative, exciting things were being done, and interesting solutions were being sought for problems which we have today, and clearly we didn't find the solutions, but the effort was a very interesting one.
What about your second son?
So David now is executive vice president of Giant Eagle, and Saul is gradually phasing out, and David will take his place. Daniel went to Michigan Law School when he came back. Oh, David married while he was still in California at Stanford. He now has three children.
Whom did he marry?
He married a fellow student from Oberlin, whose family came from Tampa, whose own father had been a graduate of Oberlin.
What's her name?
Her name is Karen. Was Karen Adler.
Karen Adler.
Adler. And they have three children, two girls and a boy.
What are their names?
Laura, Debbie, and Jeremy.
Now
I'll show you in a picture. Danny went to Michigan Law School, and while he was there, he was married to Barbara Briskin, who had been an Alderdice sweetheart, I guess you know what Kennedy is now, a girlfriend from Alderdice, and came back, took the bar here, went to work for Reed Smith, Shaw and McClay, had a very enjoyable experience, but when the Pennsylvania Crime Commission was formed, the attorney, Helwig of Reed Smith, was asked to recommend young men who might be interested in working at the Crime Commission. He recommended Danny, among others, never thinking he would leave the company, but Danny was intrigued and had two very interesting years in the Crime Commission, and then was appointed by Thornburg, who was U.S. attorney, to be an assistant U.S. attorney. And he's just completed 4 years there, and is just this week going into private practice.
Does he have any children?
He has three children, Joshua, Susan, and Jesse Joseph. They're 6, 5, and 2.
What about your third son?
Our third son is Ralph. He went to, after college, he went to California, did not go to any school for 4 years, took a civil service exam, and worked as a tax assessor for the Alameda County, I think that's the county outside of San Francisco, and from that experience became interested in law, went to Bolt Hall, which is the School of Law at the University of San Francisco at Berkeley, where he came out on the Dean's List, and took a job in Los Angeles for the O'Melveny Myers firm, where he's been now. I guess it's about 3 years. I'm just not sure of the years. He married a student from his law school class, Bonnie Sun, who is Chinese, and whom we got to know very well during those 3 years. Bonnie is a delightful person. Her father is a doctor outside of Chicago. And the wedding was a very low-key affair because Saul's mother... The wedding was a delightful, informal affair with just a few people and their friends from law school, and married by a judge for whom Bonnie had done some work, and who was who enjoyed a very real friendship with both Bonnie and Ralph, and made it a very pleasant family. The children will clearly be raised as Jews, and Bonnie said that she would convert.
Do they have any children?
The first child there is expected in the summer.
Tell me about
Bonnie. Oh, I want to say Ralph is working for this very large firm representing huge corporations. His last case was representing IBM. But Bonnie is on the other end of the spectrum and is the director of a neighborhood legal services office in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, where she supervises a staff assistant.
What does your daughter do?
Edie is in her third year of medical school at the University of Pittsburgh. When she started at Oberlin, she became part of that generation questioning the values of conventional education. Left school, and we suggested that she go to Israel, where we had had close connections with a particular kibbutz, as all three of our boys had gone there for his summer. And we knew one of the founders of this kibbutz. Incidentally, the way we made the connection was that when Ralph was studying for his bar mitzvah at Temple Sinai, his teacher was an Israeli who had come here to study at Tech. Hydraulic engineering. And by the way, he later went back to Israel. He became in charge of that country's water system and is now the energy chief for Israel. Changed his name from back to a Hebrew name from what it was when it was in Pittsburgh. His wife, Nathana Rod's wife, was part of the Solomon family of Israel, who had been there, I think, about 9 generations. And her uncle was one of the founders of Kibbutz Ein Dor, and they urged us to send the boys there. We waited until they were well into their college experience before we were willing to send them out of the country, but they each had a marvelous experience there. And when Edie dropped out of school, we suggested that she go there. She spent a year there and learned a great deal, and as a result of what she saw there, and considering that she might want to return to the kibbutz to live permanently, she felt very strongly that she must have a profession first. In spite of all the equality that they talked about in kibbutz life, Edie felt that there was not true equality. Even though a woman was a director for a while of the kibbutz, and the women shared in much of the work, she felt it was the culture was different from ours, and women were not in an equal position. But she felt if she came back there as a doctor, she would indeed be an equal. And so she came back to Oberlin, and in 2.5 years just crammed in all the science courses that were necessary for a pre-med, and was very good at them, and was accepted into a number of medical schools. But having been away as long as she had been, she really wanted to be in Pittsburgh with the family, and decided to entered medical school at the University of Pittsburgh. She's now in her third year.
Is she married?
No, she's not married.
Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Marjorie Silverman and Bessie Hyman are continuing their interview with Frieda Shapira, Mrs. Saul Shapira, at their home at 5533 Aylesboro Avenue on March the 30th. Tell me about your occupations, what you have done. No.
When Saul and I came back to Pittsburgh in 1937, I applied for a position in social work as a counselor to work with individuals' personal problems at all of the social work agencies then in existence, except for the Department of Public Assistance, which had a different name at that time. I was offered a position at each agency, and I think chiefly because I was one of the few people in Pittsburgh with a graduate degree in social work. The University of Pittsburgh School of Social Work was not started until a year or two later. And coming from the New York School of Social Work, I really was greeted as as someone of considerable prestige. Whether that was justified or not, I don't know. But I at the time, and I still think the training was excellent.
What job did you accept?
I accepted the job at the Children's I accepted a job at the Children's Service Bureau, which was a very fine agency dealing with neglected and dependent children, and also with children in foster homes and children up for adoption.
Was that a Jewish agency?
No, it was not a Jewish agency. We dealt with everyone. The Catholic agency was separate. However, we had Catholic clients. And the only part of the population we did not treat was the Jewish population, which had its own agency. I remember having been a little offended when I had my interview with the director of the Jewish Family and Children's Bureau. I had a different name then also, because she did not take my application as a serious commitment to a profession. She knew my father had been on the board, and she said something about, well, I guess you'll work a little while and then go on the board yourself. And I wanted to be taken seriously as a profession, and I didn't remember.
Was that the only job that you've ever had?
It was the only job I ever had. I worked there 4 years and left only in my fourth month of pregnancy. And during, since my first child was delivered in 1934, when World War II was, my first child was delivered in 1941, at the time of Pearl Harbor, the agency did become, all the social work agencies were very short-handed, and the director of the Children's Service Bureau did importune me to come back. But I did feel it was not important to stay home with the baby. I do want to say that during those 4 years, the question of whether neglected and dependent children should be handled by juvenile court or in a separate agency was very much alive, but it took many years before a separate Allegheny County Department of Children was set up, and that has never been entirely satisfactory. It's interesting how 40 years later, almost, the same issues can still be raised and satisfactory solutions not yet found.
Tell me about your social life. What do you do as a family, and with you and your husband? What type of social life do you have, and what kind of vacations do you take?
Well, I remember when Saul and I were first married and came back to Pittsburgh, our friends were a very broad variety of people, chiefly from the professional people we met at work, both at his work and at my work. And at that time, we lived out in the country and never thought that we would
concentrate as much either in a Jewish community or on Jewish friends as later we did. We never were interested in club life or the kind of social life for which one pays. I don't know how else to express it. Our friendships were always carried through visiting at each other's house. And aside from that, we did go to movies and to concerts and theater, but we never, rarely went out for dinner with friends or went out dancing or anything like that. It was always a home environment at which we met people.
Were your family, what kind of vacations did the family take?
Well, Sol and I, before we had children, we each got 3 weeks vacation in the summer, and we traveled in this country, starting, I must say, in 1935, when before there were motels, you know, tourist homes were the way one went around, unless they went to large hotels. After we had children, we went to the seashore, and then we went to Florida driving. We always drove with the children, and I remember our third son used to miss his little green bathroom at home. He used to say, "I just want to go back to my little green bathroom." And he did not enjoy restaurant food. His diet at that time, although wholesome, was very limited, and it became awkward ordering only the things that he liked to eat. And we felt that living elsewhere than in our own home was really not the best way to go around with children. So we began looking after that visit to Florida when Ralph was three. We also felt we couldn't afford the expensive locations at resorts with prime places on beaches and so forth. We always had to stay in places that were less convenient. And after that visit to Florida, when Ralph was three, we began looking for a place in easy driving distance of Pittsburgh, and we set a perimeter of 50 miles, a circumference of 50 miles around the Pittsburgh area in which to look places where we could get to within an hour and a half. And after a year of looking, at which time we explored every lake site in the area, and came close to buying 10 acres on Deep Creek, which was just then being developed. There were no houses there yet. But when we saw the plan of lots crowded in for the intended village that was to be there, we made a selection at the home where which we still have, which is 10 miles north of Lanier.
Is that where you, the family, have?
And we have been there ever since, and for 12 consecutive years spent our entire summer vacation there with the children. Edie was born after we bought that place, and at once overcrowded the little three-room house which we had built. But we remained in an overcrowded condition for over 20 years.
Do you have any hobbies?
Hold on a minute, Bessie, because after the children had come through the infancy period, we did begin traveling. We went across the country by car with four children three times. The second time and the third, we didn't have our oldest son with us. But we did explore every national park and walk their trails. And then after that period, so I finally went to Europe. After two of our sons had their summer vacations there, then we thought it was our turn. Now, what was it?
I wanted to know if you have any hobbies.
Well, I'm not a disciplined enough person to pursue anything to a degree of skill that I can be proud of. We are very interested in our life in the country and know some things about the natural situation around Pennsylvania and about the plants that grow here and something about their care. We have a garden for vegetables every year on which we lived throughout the summer, all of us, grandchildren and all. And I have a lot of flowers and in my garden in Pittsburgh as well as in the country.
Do you do the garden?
But I don't do anything with the kind of skill which some people do develop. I do things in a pleasant fashion for me, but basically carelessly if one applies professional.
Do you do any of the gardening yourself?
Yes, I do a great deal. We spend our weekends gardening. In the city, I don't do as much of the physical work as to oversee the old man who takes care of our garden. He is not a professional gardener at all, but a retired foreman from a steel mill, and I do direct everything that's done. But the physical work is done in the country, and I do it every weekend, starting in April.
Do you see much difference in the neighborhoods from when you were a child and now, economically, culturally?
Well, it's interesting. Squirrel Hill has changed very little in my time, except for the fact that the vacant lots have been built up. And even Point Breeze, where I lived as a child and where there were many open spaces and which were built up into beautiful residential areas during the time I lived there, since then have not changed at all. I think Pittsburgh is a remarkable city in which the children and the grandchildren are going back to the same home and finding them as well kept up in many instances as they are. It's basically an unchanged city.
What organizations do you belong to?
Well, that's another dimension of living. After the boys were well into high school and Edie was in school all day, I became interested in community problems. Always, I think, from the point of view of trying to help with social issues in terms of better living conditions and better economic opportunities for those in the city who have not found satisfactory life situations. I started from my knowledge of the people with whom I worked when I was a caseworker, but Saul and I were always intensely interested in political movements, political problems, solutions for them, and I'd always been pretty well read on the subject. So that once in council, Min Sussman drafted me onto her committee, and one of the things I did for her was to take a poll of the of candidates in this area and their viewpoints on social issues. That was for council. Then Rachel Porter drafted me. She was then president of Temple Sinai Sisterhood and drafted me to be public policy chairman for Temple Sinai. And at that time, I had a very interesting education in the Jewish orientation and basic interest in solution in trying to solve people's living problems. After that, I came back into council, and I think my first launching into broader community activities was through a program of which I'm very proud, in which we initiated in the city of Pittsburgh the first concept of a Head Start program. It was called Children's Enrichment. The board people at the Board of Education were very supportive and gave us room in about 7 schools where we could bring volunteers to work with 3- and 4-year-olds who had not until then been admitted into the public schools. At about the time we got started, the board received Ford Foundation money for this project so that they were able to pay for teachers in each of the classrooms, which originally we had intended to man, but entirely with volunteers. There was such interest in this program that by word of mouth, really, we had over 100 volunteers come.